Hope for the Weary, an exposition of Psalm chapter 13. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, July the 6th, 2016.
Have you ever been discouraged? Your answer is probably, yes, I'm alive. Because to live in this fallen, broken world is to experience discouragement. It's to experience heartache and pain. But sometimes we go through circumstances that just seem to pile up. And it's things on top of things and gets worse and worse. And as a result, we want to give up. Sometimes we face so much that we get depressed and maybe even to the point that you say, well, I don't even know that I want to go on. Sometimes, even as the people of God, we find ourselves in an unbearable situation. We see no way out. We just don't seem to care anymore. Sometimes the burdens of life are simply overwhelming. Sometimes life dumps on us. Sometimes our worst nightmare becomes our reality. Well, what happens when that comes? How do we, as people of faith, respond? What do we do when life becomes overwhelming? Because life often does, even for the people of God. Depression and despair have often hounded the saints through the ages. Now, we don't talk about it, because to talk about it might imply that we're not living the abundant life. If you come to me and you say, how are you doing? My response is supposed to be, doing good. Things are okay. Things are great. Because when you ask me how I'm doing, you really don't want to hear. It's horrible. It's awful. You wouldn't believe what kind of day I've had. You wouldn't believe the hell that I've been through this afternoon. You don't want to hear that. And I'm kind of afraid to tell you that, because then you might think, well, he must not be walking in faith. He must not be living the life that God called us to live. Because after all, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you have it in abundance. You have it to the full. And if I start talking to you about how my life isn't to the full, then maybe you'll question me. So we smile and nod and things are good. Things are going okay. I'm getting along. And the problem is we just suffer in silence. And we move deeper and deeper in despair. And then we start questioning ourselves and examining our lives and trying to figure out just exactly what we've done to bring this on ourselves. And yet, have we ever stopped to consider that we're not alone in feeling that way? You ever stop to consider that maybe those hard, difficult, discouraging times are normal for the Christian, living in a fallen world? It's true, when we come to faith, the Spirit of God takes up residence in us, and the Lord has promised us life eternal and abundant. That does not mean in this sin-cursed, fallen world, life will always be sunshine and roses. Sometimes life is hard and difficult and gut-wrenching. Charles Spurgeon, pastor of the great Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, was known as the Prince of Preachers. He preached sermons that were taken down in great detail and then put in newspapers all across Europe and even America. He was the superstar of his day, and yet Charles Spurgeon regularly suffered bouts of depression. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was said to have been on the verge of insanity numerous times in his life. Life can be overwhelming, even for the people of God. Life can be more than we can handle. But I want to say there's hope. I want to say to those of us who struggle, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And no, it's not a train. It really is light. There really is hope. Tonight I want us to look at Psalm 13. Lucky number Psalm 13. And learn something about the hope of God that is given to us as His people. Of course, David's known as the man after God's own heart. When we think of David, yes, we know there are the incidents with Bathsheba and there are other incidents in his life. But for the most part, when we think David, we think mighty man of God. We think of David, we think of the warrior, the king, the poet. And yet David struggled with depression. This hymn recorded for us in Psalm 13 divides into three stanzas. And that's how I want us to look at it tonight and walk through this, learning something about finding hope in the midst of our despair. But look how it opens. Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So, David, as this opens, is where? I don't mean physically where is he. I mean emotionally where is he? He's wallowing in despair. David is overwhelmed by some heartache, by some tragedy. And again, we don't know specifically what because we're not told. We don't know what's brought this about. We don't know. Maybe it's when he was pursued by Saul. Or maybe it's when Absalom, his own son, was after him. Maybe he is speaking this at that moment when his child, the son of Bathsheba, is dying. That period of time where David wouldn't eat and he mourned. And maybe he's saying that. Maybe that's the occasion of this. We don't know. Now the interesting thing is, when you think about it, David's life was such that this psalm, with this kind of heartache, with this kind of discouragement, with this level of wallowing in despair, could be any number of times in his life. That in itself is instructive. It's not a matter that we can come read this and then think of David's life and say, oh, I know exactly when that was. That was that one time. No, there's so many times in David's life this could have been that there ought to be some sense of encouragement in that. David, even a man after God's own heart, David, the great warrior, David, the strong king and deliverer of his people, David himself struggled. We know that David is in a bad place. He feels abandoned by God. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? It's important to note that David's not hiding his feelings. When David is sorrowful, when David is overwhelmed, he isn't trying to bottle that up. He isn't trying to deny it. He isn't seeking to push it away. He isn't trying to say, it's not here, it doesn't exist, I'm not feeling this way. He's very honest about where he is. And he expresses it. He felt abandoned by God, and he said so. Now, let me ask you, how often are you that honest in your praying? How often in your praying are you willing to say, Lord, how much longer am I going to be here? Lord, how much longer before you do something? How much longer are you going to hide your face from me? You ever that honest? And you're praying? You do know that God already knows your heart. And you're not fooling Him. David was willing to be transparent in the presence of God and voice his discouragement. Voice his heartache. Because it's part of the healing process when we're willing to be honest in the presence of God, acknowledging who we are and where we are. I've told you before, but one of my heroes when I was in seminary was a man that was our interim pastor, and Jack Taylor. I remember him preaching one Sunday, and he said, "You know, I was in preaching meetings all across the country. He said, I was gone a lot, and God was greatly using our ministry, and great things were happening in churches where we were preaching, and things were just going great. But he said, physically and mentally and emotionally, he said, I was a wreck. And he said, I remember one night going back to my room after a very good meeting. Great things happened in that service and people were very happy. He said, I went back to my room and he said, I was just so depressed and so discouraged. He said, I remember falling on the floor and just sobbing until finally I sat up, and he said, I literally looked at the ceiling and said, it's no wonder you don't have any more friends than you do if you treat them like you treat me. And he said, something released inside of him. That willingness to be honest and express the deep hurt that was there. And guess what? God's big enough to handle it. God's big enough to handle your hurt and your frustration. Just like I as a parent can handle it when my kids were little and they were hurt and they didn't understand and they cried out. I didn't berate them. I put my arms around them. David is in great pain. David is in great anguish. So he cried out four times, how long? You going to forget me forever? Ever feel that way? Now you do know, because we are as we are, this may have been a very short period of time, but to David it was forever. You going to hide your face from me? How long am I going to have to wrestle with or counsel my thoughts? How long are you going to allow my enemies to triumph or exalt over me? It reveals a prolonged struggle. This is not something new. This has been ongoing for some time. How long, we don't know. But during this time of prolonged difficulty, David began to wonder if God was ever going to do anything. Will you forget me forever? It also reveals that sense of abandonment. David feels as if the Lord has removed his hand of blessing. That's what he means when he says, how long will you hide your face from me? Because God's face being toward you is an indication of blessing. For instance, we say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. What we're saying is, the face of God is the blessing. So David says, how long are you going to keep that away? How long are you going to hide your face to me? How long are you going to keep me from seeing and experiencing your blessing? It reveals this spiraling depression. How long do I have to wrestle with my thoughts and every day the sorrow in my heart? This prolonged struggle and this feeling of abandonment had driven him to intense navel gazing. He's staring deeply within, trying to figure it out, wondering why in the world it's taking so long and why in the world the Lord hadn't done a thing about it. Because as far as David could see right then, the Lord's not doing anything. Now you and I know that the Lord is always at work. God is sovereignly working at all times. God is providentially ordering all things. But there are those times when we're hurt and we don't see it. We don't experience it. And as far as we can tell, our God is doing nothing. And then there's that sense of this enemy that is always prevalent. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? How long will they have victory over me? How long will they throw it in my face? Elijah, after Mount Carmel, he's crying out the same thing. I alone am left to serve you. You may not have a literal enemy in pursuit of your life, but you do have an enemy. One who is real and relentless. Peter speaks of him in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 when he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. David's at a point that things have gotten so bad, and it's been so bad for so long, he's just constantly aware of the presence of this enemy pressing in around him. Can you identify? Ever been there? Ever found yourself in that kind of despair? Ever been overwhelmed by heartache or sorrow? Ever suffered through the loss of someone dear to you that came unexpectedly and you didn't think there was any way you were ever going to come out of it? Ever had that diagnosis, that phone call that comes and the doctor says, well, it is bad, it is a tumor, it is cancer, we need to meet. And then you have to deal with that and work your way through that. Ever been there? You ever had to watch your child suffer, your grandchild suffer, and you can't do anything to change it? David is at the point of despair. But drop down to verse 5. He goes from how long, how long, how long, how long. Then look at what he does in verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's quite a change. That is an amazing turnaround. This is the result of some great transformation. David went from wallowing in the depth of despair to singing songs of praise. And note how confident he is. I have trusted in your steadfast love. I have relied upon, I rest myself in, I dwell in your steadfast love. A moment ago, David was bemoaning the fact that God had abandoned him. And now he's saying, my heart rejoices in your salvation. You have dealt bountifully with me. You have given to me in abundance. So, we do have to ask, how did David move from despair to hope? How did he get there? What enabled him to think rationally and clearly enough that he could be restored in the fashion that he is restored? In just a few words. I mean, sometimes when you read the Psalms, in particular some of the Psalms of David, you almost think he must be schizophrenic. He must be going through one of those cycles. He's manic depressive. He's been mad one minute, he's happy the next. No, there is something dramatic that changes there, but it isn't. He got some medication. The change is understood because of verses 3 and 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me here abandoned. Don't leave me here discouraged. Do something. Bring life. Bring joy. Bring peace. Bring provision. What enabled David to turn the corner is that he poured out his heart in prayer to God. See, I don't think you should miss the fact that the very fact that you feel abandoned by God is evidence that you know He actually is there. You know He's there. You've experienced His presence. That's why you now sense His absence. David prays, Lord, look on me. Lord, don't abandon me. Don't look away from me. Don't leave me. Look upon me. That implies understand me, understand where I am, understand my heartache, understand the circumstances of my life. Lord, look upon me. And also, did you know, David says, and answer me. Give me hope. Give me something. Give light to my eyes. That's a prayer for preservation of life. Lord, don't abandon me to my enemies. Don't abandon me even to my own despair. Preserve my life. That's why the Apostle Paul admonishes us to be anxious about nothing in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He goes on to say, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. In the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the despair, believe, trust, and come to Him in believing prayer. With everything. There's no such thing as a concern that's too small to pray about or something too big that's beyond our praying. In everything, with prayer and supplications and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Or the Lord Jesus speaking to us in John 16 and verse 23. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now, that's not a blanket endorsement that you get to pray about anything you want as long as you tack on in Jesus' name that He's going to answer. It means when you pray in keeping with who Jesus is, in keeping with His Lordship, in yielding to His glory, in yielding to who He is and the will of God and the plan of God, you can be assured that God answers. Our hope, our confidence is not in that God will do whatever we tell Him to do, but rather that God will make Himself known. That's the issue. That in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my heartache, that God will open my eyes and give me understanding so that I see clearly who He is. Because when I see who He is, everything else falls into place. And when I have Him, I have everything. And apart from Him, I have nothing. Of course, the great example of this is Job. You remember the story of Job? Job was that man that the Lord described him and said, there's no one like him in all the earth. A righteous man. You remember it was the devil appeared before God and he had been roaming around the earth. And God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? Have you noticed that Job's down there minding his own business and God brought him into this mess? Wasn't even the devil that brought Job up. It was God that brought Job up. You ever considered my servant? And then he says, well, of course he loves you because you give him all this good stuff. You put so much protection around him, nothing's going to happen to him. But you remove that protection, and boy, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, all right, go ahead, this far and no further. He brought that disaster, and he lost his whole family in a day and all of that. And then he let him go further, and he strikes his body with boils and all of that. Job goes through hell, losing his family, losing everything. And his wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? Job hung on. If you follow the book of Job, Job keeps asking, why? 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 And God finally says to him, the question isn't why. The question is who. Who is with you? Who has promised to supply? Who has promised to never leave you? Moses asked, God, where are we going? You remember God's answer? I'll be with you. Isn't that interesting? Lord, where are we going? None of your business. The only thing you really need to know is I'll be there. I'll be with you. In times of heartache, times of struggle, times of depression and despair, the real help is not found in why, but in who. Who is there? Who has assured you of His loving presence and grace? Therein is our peace. So the point of the psalm is, believing prayer grants the believer hope in the midst of despair. You and I cannot live in this fallen, sin-cursed world and not experience heartache and pain and hardship. And at times, that's overwhelming. Our hope, our peace, is that we have a God who hears, a God who cares, and we come before Him in confident hope and full assurance that He's present and that He responds to the prayers of His people.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.